This is a great psalm about the house of God. And I know that those of you who are genuine believers, you are missing God's house at the present time. And of course, genuine believers always feel like that. Those who are not genuine believers have no great love for the Lord's house. Backsliders have no great love for the Lord's house. And sadly, there are many like that today, many people in our society who have no great desire to be in God's house. Even at the present time, during the lockdown, I find it very sad that there are people who would even profess to be Christians who seem to be quite content to be at home on the Lord's Day. And that's very sad because there's no place like the house of God. And we pray that before long we will be able to meet together, to gather together, to assemble ourselves together as the book of Hebrews talks about, and we'll be able to come and worship the Lord. But Psalm 84, and let's read it together, please. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Amen. Shall we bow together in a word of prayer? O God, our heavenly Father, we bow before thee today in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. How we praise thee for that precious name. We thank you that the book of Matthew reminds us, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We thank you, dear Lord, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And, O Lord, we are glad to be saved today. Thank you, Lord, for every child of God who knows your saving grace today. And Lord, though life has its ups and downs and trials, troubles and tribulation, how we thank you, Lord, that we are redeemed and we have a mansion just over the hilltop. We have an eternal home, and this world is not our home, for we're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your so great salvation. And we would say today with the hymn writer, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. O Lord, the great God of the universe, the triune God, we bow before thee today and bring thee our praise. We say with the psalmist, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Oh, help us today in our online worship to praise thee, dear Lord. And we pray, our Father, that before long we may be able to join together for worship in thy house. How we praise you for your house, O Lord. Your house is the house of prayer. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, it was said of Christ. O Lord, may the zeal of thy house consume us too. May we love your house. And even in these days of quarantine, Father, may our love for the house of God grow and grow. And we pray that, O Lord, in your almighty sovereign power, if it be your will, O God, we pray that you would fling open the doors of your house before long. We pray that ere long, Lord, the doors of your house will be wide open again for your people to come and worship you. You have said in your word, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Lord, we take a moment to pray for our country. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will remember us in these days. In wrath, remember mercy. Father, we want to thank you and praise you for your merciful hand upon our land. We thank you especially for your merciful hand upon our hospitals. And we thank you, Lord, for how you have answered prayer. We praise you, Lord, for your hand upon our local hospital here in Altnagelvin. And we thank you, Lord, for how you have enabled the wonderful staff there to bring the virus under control. We thank you that by your grace, this virus is under control in the hospital. We give you the glory, Lord. We ascribe all the glory to you today. And Father, we pray for the hospital staff that you will continue to help them, that you will continue to bless them. We pray for the sick today that they may be healed. We pray, O Lord, that you will just undertake in a wonderful way. And we pray, dear Father, even that before long the hospital will be able to return to normal services, normal appointments. And we pray, dear Father in heaven, that normality will be resumed before long. Father, we pray that those who need cancer treatment will soon be able to receive it. We pray that those who need surgery, Lord, will soon be able to receive it. O God, step in, answer prayer, we pray. We pray, Father, we pray today against the fear and the scaremongering and the hype and the hysteria in the corporate media. O God, we pray that you will help us, Lord, to turn away from this deceit and to turn away from the lies, Lord. And Father, may we turn to you and trust in you. And Lord, we pray that you'll, O God, come to our nation and restore our nation and cause our nation, as it were, to rise like the phoenix from the ashes, we pray. Father, we pray for our emergency services today. Remember the PSNI. Bless every officer we ask of thee. We thank you for them doing their duty in these days under difficult circumstances. We pray for the ambulance crews. We pray for the fire service. Father, we pray that you'll undertake for these men and women, these courageous men and women, in a wonderful way. Oh, remember our doctors and nurses, our emergency services. We pray that you'll take fear from their hearts. Lord, that you'll help them to be fearless. Give them peace and strength for these unprecedented days, we ask of thee. Father, we pray for our Prime Minister who will return to office tomorrow. O God, we pray that you will help him and strengthen him. And we pray, Lord, that he will rule in the fear of God. Father, we pray that you will grant to him wisdom from above, heavenly wisdom for the days that lie ahead. Give him sanctified common sense, we pray. And Father, we ask that you will give him that wisdom that is from above. Lord, deliver him from devilish wisdom. We see so much devilish wisdom in these days. O God, deliver us from the wisdom that is from the pit of hell. And Lord, may heavenly divine wisdom pervade our leaders and the corridors of power in these days, we pray. Father, we pray that you just undertake for our first minister at this time in Stormont. We pray, Lord, for our health minister. We pray for the executive today. And we pray, Lord, that you will give them sanctified common sense. And we pray, Lord, that you will help those who are believers. And we pray for those who would seek to hinder the executive, those, Lord, who would seek to wreck the economy, evil men and women, Lord, who would seek to destroy our land. We pray against them today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you'll remember our little country. Oh, remember little Ulster, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you like to meet him? Okay, well, here he is. His name is Kevin, and he's a coconut. A coconut. Kevin the coconut. Kevin has a very important message to tell us today. Now, he's very quiet, as you probably have gathered by now, because he hasn't said a word. Yes, Kevin, you're very quiet, aren't you? Kevin has an important message for us, even though he doesn't speak. And the way that he communicates his message to us is by his tongue. I wonder, have you ever been to the doctors? I'm sure that you have. And if you haven't, I'm sure that sometime before too long, you'll have to go. I hope you don't have to go to the doctors, but sooner or later in your life, you will have to go. And I have been to the doctor quite a few times during my life. And whenever you go to the doctor, sometimes they will say, stick out your tongue. Wonder if you ever been to the doctor and he said to you, stick out your tongue. Normally you're not supposed to stick out your tongue. It's bad manners, isn't it? Not very polite. But you're allowed to stick out your tongue when you go to the doctors. Well, you know, Kevin is allowed to stick out his tongue today. So, Kevin, would you please stick out your tongue? He's a bit slow on it, isn't he? So maybe I think we'll help him. We'll give his tongue a wee pull. And so here's the first part of Kevin's tongue. And can anybody tell me what colour it is? Well, it's gold. Of course it is gold. Gold reminds us of God. The Bible says there is one God, just one God. Boys and girls, don't listen to people who tell you there are lots of gods and it doesn't matter which one you worship. It does. There is only one God, and it is important that we worship him, and it's important that we are saved by his grace and follow him all our lives. So what about this wonderful God? Well, he's the one who made the universe. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I hope that you're still getting out and about these days with your dad and mum. And these are beautiful sunny days, and we can see around us the trees and the rivers. And we can look around and admire creation. God made it all. We hear the birds singing. We see the squirrels, we see the dolphins, we see other animals, the dogs, the pussycats, they're all there, and God made them all. He's the creator. But what about you? Well, God made you too, because the Bible says in the very first chapter, Genesis 1, God made man in his own image. God made you. And God wants you to be with him in heaven someday. The only problem is, boys and girls, we have sin in our lives. And what is sin? Well, sin is whenever you break God's laws. God has given us 10 laws. They're called the 10 commandments. And when we break even one of them, we break God's law. And even if we only break one of God's rules one time, then we are guilty and we cannot be in heaven. You see, the Bible says, nothing that defileth shall enter therein. So here Kevin is going to put out his tongue a bit more, and it's the black that reminds us of this word we have been talking about, sin, sin. Some people think sin is a good thing, it's a nice thing, it's something you can laugh and joke about, it's no big deal. But boys and girls, sin is a big deal, sin is a dreadful thing, sin is a terrible thing. You know why? Because sin nailed the Son of God to the cross. But the good news is that it's through the cross that we can be saved and we can be in heaven someday. And here's another colour on Kevin's tongue, and it's the colour red. The colour red reminds us of the ruby red blood of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Boys and girls, no matter what you have done, the blood of Jesus can make you clean. Doesn't matter what evil thought has been in your head. Doesn't matter what evil word has come out of your mouth. Doesn't matter what evil deed you have done. Maybe things that you're ashamed of. Doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus can cleanse it all away and make you whiter than the snow. I'm a Christian. And even this past week, I have done things that are wrong. I have done things that I'm ashamed of. But I'm glad that the blood of Jesus cleanses away all my sin too. Well, do you want to see another part of Kevin's tongue? The lovely white part. White's a lovely colour, isn't it? Whenever we realise that we are sinful and we cannot be in heaven with the holy God who lives there, and whenever we realise that Jesus gave his life for us, that he shed his blood for us on the cross 2,000 years ago, and we trust in his blood, then, boys and girls, we are white. In fact, we are whiter than the snow, the Bible says. Psalm 51 tells us, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Well, here's the last colour on Kevin's tongue. It's the colour green. Green's a nice colour. There's so many things in our world that are green, things God has made, like the grass, the trees, and so many other things that are green, and the fields. We look out in the fields, they're green. You know, boys and girls, wouldn't it be strange if the fields were like bright red, or if the trees were bright orange? Or it wouldn't be nice to look at. It would actually hurt our eyes. But isn't God wonderful that he is given us the lovely green fields and the green trees? When we look at the green fields and the green trees, we think of growth. The trees are growing, the grass is growing in the fields. And so the green on Kevin's tongue reminds us that when we are washed in the blood of Jesus, then Jesus wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of him. Well, children, how can we grow as Christians? Well, the first thing that we need to remember is that we should confess our sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's a bit like your wheelie bin that you leave out for the bin men every week. I don't know, maybe that's your job at home. Maybe that's the chore that you're given. You have to leave out the bin to be the rubbish is to be collected. Well, can you just imagine what it would be like in your house if you didn't leave out the bin each week and the rubbish just kept piling up and piling up each week? You wouldn't want to live in a house like that. Well, boys and girls, when we as Christians don't confess our sins, when we think that we have no sin to confess, then it's just like the rubbish piling up in our lives. Yeah. And we're not going to grow. No, we grow by setting the rubbish out. Leave the bin out, boys and girls. Confess your sins to Jesus, and he takes away the rubbish from our lives when we do that. Of course, there's another way that we can grow, and that is by prayer and Bible reading. Okay, now we can do that at home, and we have to do that at home at the moment. But I hope before long we'll be able to come to God's house. I hope we'll be able to come to church, to Sunday school, to Lifeliners for prayer and for Bible reading. You pray that God will answer prayer, that before long we'll be able to do that. And boys and girls, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus loves to hear children praying. So you pray to him, and he'll answer your prayer just as quick as he'll answer my prayer. All right. So there's Kevin. Do you want to say bye-bye to Kevin? And maybe we'll bring him out again sometime. Thank you. Friends, just before we turn to God's word again, let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that we have the Bible. We thank you, O Lord, that we have the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I now can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Father, I pray that the promises of God will come with blessing to your people today. I pray, Lord, for the congregation in new buildings, that you will encourage them through your word today, that your promise may come with blessing and encouragement and strength to their souls. And I pray, Lord, not only for the church in here in new buildings, but I pray for the church across Ulster today. Father, bless your people and meet with them, Lord, in their own homes today. And we pray, dear Father in heaven, that you will richly bless and greatly encourage thy saints this very day. Now, dear Lord, as we read your word, as we meditate upon it, we pray for your help, and we pray that it will come with freshness to us. Lord, I pray that you will help me, that you will quicken my mind, that you will touch these stammering lips. And Father, I just pray, O Lord, that you will help us as we open the scriptures together. And may the Lord Jesus have the preeminence. May Christians be encouraged. May backsliders be restored. And may sinners be saved. For the glory of the Saviour we pray. Amen. We're going to turn to the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, please. Malachi chapter 3. We're going to begin to read at verse 16. And we'll read from Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, through to chapter 4, verse 3. So let's all hear the word of the Lord. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Friends, God has blessed us in recent days with wonderful weather. It's been truly remarkable just to have had the sunshine now for 4 or 5 weeks. Really since the quarantine began, our Prime Minister, who of course will return to office tomorrow after his sickness, our Prime Minister, he initiated the lockdown on the 23rd of March. And we have been quarantined and isolated since that date. But since that date, we have had nothing but wall-to-wall sunshine. Now, atheists would say it's just a coincidence. Well, I'm not an atheist, obviously, and I don't accept for one moment that it is a coincidence. No, I believe that our wonderful Sovereign Lord has been blessing our nation with the sunshine. And in a sense, he has been saying to us that he is in supreme control. Yes, he's in supreme control of the current situation that we find ourselves in. It's been remarkable even to think about the month of April and how much sunshine we have had during this month. There have been on average 9 hours of sunshine per day. Normally, we only get 5 hours of sunshine per day during the month of April. There has been a remarkable rise in the temperature as well. On one particular day in the month, the temperature reached 78 degrees Fahrenheit, which translates as 25 degrees Celsius. April 2020 has been the warmest April for 70 years. God has been good to us, and we should be so thankful to him. In the Bible, the Lord Jesus is likened to the sun. And in Malachi chapter 4, the Lord Jesus is compared to the sun. Let me read to you Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 again, for this is our text. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You notice first of all there in verse 2, the beginning of the verse. But unto you that fear my name. Unto you that fear my name. Here you have the disciples of the Lord, or the remnant we could call them. His followers, his adherents, his devotees. And they're described here as those that fear the Lord. They fear the Son of Righteousness. Back a few months ago, when we were able to meet together in the sanctuary, we were studying the book of Proverbs. And we spoke one Sunday morning about the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord doesn't mean that we are afraid of the Lord. No, rather it means that we have an awe of him. We revere him. We respect him. We have affectionate respect for him. That's what it means to fear the Lord. And these believers here in Malachi chapter 4, they had admiration for the Lord. Great admiration for him. We too, as believers in 2020, we have admiration for our wonderful Lord. Why is that? Well, it's because of what he has done for us. Because he has loved us with an everlasting love. Because he has come into this world to rescue us from sin and from death and from hell. And he has shed his blood for us. He has died for us. He has risen again for us. He has ascended back to heaven for us. And he is praying for us right now. And one day he is coming for us again. And so that is why we admire him. We have nothing but admiration for our wonderful Lord. That's what it means to fear him. But fearing the Lord not only means that you have great admiration for him, but it means that you have great adoration for him. You not only admire him, but you adore him. Why do we adore the Lord? Well, it's simply because he is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is the great I Am. He is divine. There are false cults around who will tell you that he is a created being. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's deception, and it's just not true. The truth of the matter is that Scripture makes it abundantly clear that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. If he isn't God, then he cannot be our Saviour. We need a divine Saviour. So we, like the believers that are mentioned in Malachi chapter 4, this remnant, we fear the Lord. There's not only the remnant here in Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, but there's also the rising. I want you to notice it. The rising of the sun. Notice what it says. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness arise. The sun will rise. The rising of the sun. Here we have a wonderful picture of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, in these days, we need to lift up our heads because our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus Christ is coming. We don't know the day or the date, and we wouldn't be so foolish as to predict it. There was a heretic called Harold Camping. He was from the United States of America, and he made a number of predictions about the very date when Christ would come again. By the way, every one of his predictions failed miserably, and Christ didn't return on those dates. He didn't return on any of those dates. And it is a dangerous thing to make predictions about the return of the Savior. But we know that his return is drawing nigh. And since I last spoke with you on Thursday evening on YouTube, we are 3 days nearer to the return of Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming. And here is a wonderful picture of that coming. The Son of Righteousness will arise. The Lord Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. And someday, we know not when, but someday he will rise. Now, let me explain. At the present time, Jesus is sitting. He is sitting down. He is seated in heaven. Turn to Psalm 2. We read of the Savior sitting. Psalm number 2, the second psalm. And it tells us in Psalm 2 and verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord Jesus is sitting in the heavens today. And he's laughing at evildoers upon the earth, and he will have them in derision. You know, there are men today in positions of power, and I think they're quite enjoying the power that they have at the present time. They like to be in control. You know, there are a lot of control freaks in our world today, people in the corridors of power, and they're happy to be in control. They only think they're in control. Because I want to tell you, folks, the one who sits in the heavens is in control. The one we worship today is in control, and his name is the Son of Righteousness. Isaiah chapter 40, it speaks there of he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. By the way, the earth is round. Don't listen to nutcases who say that the earth is flat. It just isn't. You just have to turn to Scripture, and it tells you plainly that this earth is a sphere. It is round. He that sitteth on the circle of the earth. And the person who sits on the circle of the earth is none other than the Lord Jesus. He is seated at the present time. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that he is seated. The New Testament epistle to the Colossians. Chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There it is, another scripture telling us that at the present moment in the world's history, that the Savior is sitting on the right hand of God. One more verse for you. Hebrews chapter 1. Book of Hebrews chapter 1. And notice what it tells us in verse 3, Hebrews 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Folks, the Son of Righteousness is sitting at the present time. But sooner or later, he is going to rise. He will arise, as Malachi chapter 4 tells us. Now, why will he rise from off his heavenly seat? What purpose will he rise for? What is it that will cause the Son of Righteousness to arise? Well, it is his second coming. Jesus is going to stand up from his heavenly seat, and he is going to return to this world, to the sky. The rapture will take place, the trumpet will sound, and Christ will come again. Christ will come for his own. If you're washed in his blood, he is coming someday for you. No matter about all your imperfections and all your flaws, dear friend, I have them too. Welcome to the club. But no matter about them all, our Lord Jesus has no flaws. He has no imperfections. And one day he will come to this world again. He will come to the sky for those of us who are trusting in his finished work. And folks, the good news is there will be no travel restrictions on that day. We find it difficult at the present time that we are not allowed to travel very far, and it's very strange, and sometimes we even wonder about the merit of it and what is the point of it, and is there any common sense in this regulation. But I want to tell you, when Jesus comes again, no one is going to restrict his travel. He is going to leave heaven, he is going to come to this earth, and he is going to claim his bride. Yes, the Son of Righteousness will arise and will come for his blood-bought, blood-washed people. Revelation chapter 3, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22, the answer of the church to the coming Saviour, even so come Lord Jesus. I wonder, friend, have you ever prayed for Jesus to come? Brother or sister in Christ, do you pray that Jesus will return? Oh, we should pray for it. John prayed for it in Revelation, and we ought to pray for it too. And what a wonderful day it will be when Jesus comes again, and when he puts to flight wicked men, and when he comes to rule and to reign. So there's the remnant, or the disciples who fear his name. There's the rising, or the dawn, when Jesus comes again. And then you have the recovery, or the what we'll term the disinfectant. You see, it tells us there in verse 2, if we read on, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Notice those words, with healing in his wings. The great disinfectant, Jesus Christ, the returning Saviour, as he comes again for his people, he is the heavenly disinfectant. And he has come to this earth and will return to the earth a second time to cleanse this earth from all the filthiness and perversion that permeates and saturates society today. Yes, thank God for this heavenly disinfectant, for this wonderful Saviour who will disinfect this world and will claim it for his own once again. And thank God, folks, one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, It says here, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Healing in his wings. What does the wings speak of in this text? The wings speak of the rays of the sun. The rays of the sun. In these days, we have been enjoying the rays of the sun. What a blessed thing it is. How good the Lord is to have given us these wonderful rays of sunshine. And you know, obviously, physically speaking, the rays of the sunshine are good for your body. We spoke to the children a few weeks ago on YouTube about vitamin D and how the sunshine gives us vitamin D. Yes, the sunshine is good for us physically. The rays of the sun are a blessing to our bodies. But folks, whenever Jesus comes again, whenever the trumpet sounds, there will be healing. There will be healing for our bodies, complete healing. You see, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, it tells us that these bodies of ours will be made like unto his glorious body. These vile bodies, that's the term the Holy Spirit employs, vile. And these bodies of ours are vile because they are riddled with original sin. They are tainted with the stain of sin, even as believers. Yes, we are saved by grace. Our names are written in heaven. But we still have that bent within us towards sin. And we still battle with the flesh each day. But whenever the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings, whenever Christ comes again for us, then our bodies will be completely healed. We will have brand new bodies. And these bodies of ours will no longer suffer from sickness and disease. They will be perfect bodies like the Savior's body. But when Jesus comes again, not only will our bodies be healed, but our souls will be healed. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and that healing will extend to our souls. You see, as believers, we have been healed from the penalty of sin. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We have been delivered from the penalty of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That is the only stipulation that God has for a person being saved, that they're in Christ. So if you're in Christ, you have been saved, you have been healed from the penalty of sin. But the reality is that until Jesus comes, we are not saved from the presence of sin. Sin is still dwelling in these bodies of ours. Sin is all around us in the world that we live in. But thank God, when the Son of Righteousness rises and comes again, these souls of ours will be completely healed from the stain of sin, the sickness of sin, the disease of sin, and we will be delivered from the very presence of sin. And folks, that will happen when the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. Thank God for the great disinfectant that one day will shine upon this earth. Let me finish by drawing your attention to the delight, to the rejoicing that you find here in this text of Scripture. I want you to look carefully at the last part of the verse. This is a part of the verse that so often people overlook. So often people read up to the end, people read up to this part of the verse and just leave it. And so often preachers deal with the first part of the verse, but they forget about the last part. But the last part is so important. So let's read it again. Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Here is delight. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, there will be great delight when Jesus comes again. Oh, there will be terror among those who are not ready for his coming. But for those of us who are ready for his coming, those of us who are saved by his matchless, marvelous grace, there will be delight. And the prophet Malachi, he paints for us here a wonderful picture of what this delight will be like. Now, those of you who are farmers will be able to recognize, you will be able to relate to what I'm about to say. Malachi the prophet speaks of calves. And what he is referring to is calves that have been kept inside. And you farmers know, and I was reared on a farm, and I have memories of the calves on the farm. Of course, whenever they're born, they are kept inside, especially during the winter, during the cold months. They're kept inside until they get their mother's milk, and their strength increases, and they grow and become stronger. And then the day comes when they're allowed outside, and the little calves are let loose in the open field. And what happens? They skip and they dance around. They frolic around in the open field. They are delighting themselves in the freedom. And you know, friends, whenever the Lord Jesus comes again, it will be just like that for those of us who are saved. Oh, what delight will fill our hearts. We will leap for joy. We will jump for joy. We will skip around like newborn calves let loose in the open field. Oh, the delight of it all. And the longest lockdown ever will be over. You see, friends, the reality is that this world has not just been in lockdown the past month. No, this world has been in lockdown for the past 6,000 years. Ever since the serpent deceived the first couple, our first parents in the Garden of Eden, this world has been in a state of lockdown. Lockdown to the enemy of our souls. Lockdown to the devil. And there has been bondage because of sin. But folks, listen out for the trumpet and watch out for the second coming, because whenever that time comes, delight will fill our souls. Delight and joy that we have never experienced before. And folks, all I can say is roll on that day. We're going to have our final hymn in a moment, written by Charles Wesley. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. But before we have this great hymn, let's just bow and commit ourselves to the Lord. My times are in thy hand, Jesus the crucified. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can commit ourselves to the crucified and risen Saviour. And we thank you for the Son of Righteousness, who one day will rise with healing in his wings, and we will go forth as calves that have been set free from the stall. And, O Lord, may we focus on that day. May we think much upon that day. Lord, I just ask that you will bless your people in these days. Bless every home connected with our church. And even guide us and guard us in these days, we pray. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Son of Righteousness. I plead it upon every home in our congregation. And Father, now we say with the hymn writer, O spread thy covering wings around, till all our wanderings cease, and at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. Amen. Thank you.